Calls for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's Call for Action's president and your host, Shirley Rooker.
Are you organized? Or does your desk look as though a windstorm passed through your office? Are there any benefits to being disorganized? How can you get control of the mess? Good questions, aren't they? Well, we have an expert who's going to help us, whether it's your home, office, or both. Scott Rohrer is a professional organizer, and he's going to tell us how we can get organized. Now, I know that New Year's resolutions, birthdays, all kinds of big events are the times that we kind of tend to make vows to ourselves that we're going to do something different. Do those vows usually work?
You know, it really depends on the commitment that a person might make to changing their life. The New Year's resolutions are obviously a big one. But, you know, during this time of year, has that resolution stuck? Have they really made the efforts to change the way they're organized? Or, you know, the New Year's resolution of losing weight. It's a great resolution, but did you actually do something to do it?
So, like, where are you in July for the resolution you made in the earlier part of the year, or bathing suit weather is coming and you say, oh, I'm going to get in shape, and by fall, what's the story?
Exactly. And with organization, it's really just not something you can do temporarily and expect your life to change. It's a habit, you know, it's a good habit to have. But it's also something that evolves over time and that you need to adapt and bring into your lifestyle.
See, now, I haven't really had not thought about organization as being related to weight loss. I think about it's more about how my desk looks or how my home looks. But you're saying that a process of organization can enable us to do a lot of things that it's not just necessarily clutter.
Oh, no. It's way beyond physical clutter. It's psychological clutter. The clutter affects our relationships. It's our total areas of our life that can weigh us down. And when you get organized and you feel that you're not drowning, then your whole life is going to change.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I tend to be rather organized, I think. But you have a quiz you're going to give me, right?
Yes. Here's a few questions that you can answer for your listeners. Have you ever lost your keys and it's made you late for a social event or for work?
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever avoided having people into your home or into your office because you might be a little bit embarrassed about the look?
No.
Okay. Do you always pay your taxes and your bills on time?
My husband does.
Okay,
thank
very
God.
Good. That's a way to do it. Do you find things in your house, for example, a pair of scissors whenever you need them?
I know where they are, upstairs and downstairs.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
When you buy a new article, such as a piece of clothing, do you get rid of one in order to fit it into your closet?
Not right then, but I do tend to go through the closets and clean them out and send stuff to one of the charities.
Very good. That's a good way to do it.
Although lately I've gotten sloppier about doing that. I need to go through and do that, Scott.
It's a good time of year to do that, especially mm-hmm. as the seasons are going to eventually mm-hmm. be changing.
Because you're going to change your clothes, you know, summer clothes replace winter clothes, and winter clothes replace summer clothes when the seasons go along. So, yes, you do.
Exactly.
You do need that space. That's a good time to do it, isn't it?
It's a perfect time to do it. Also, fashion changes. So it was interesting. I heard a study that said women tend to hold on to their favorite outfit longer than the average couple stays married.
Oh, my goodness.
So for 12 Scary. Years, you're holding on to that outfit, but the average marriage lasts less than 12 years these
oh,
days.
Oh, my gracious.
So
oh,
clothes are an often big problem. So answering those questions to yourself, if you said yes or I don't do that, then it might be a sign that you could, you know, stand a little organization
mm-hmm.
in your life.
Mm-hmm. I did lose my keys the other day. It was a very pertinent question. They were there. I knew
it's
they were
frustrating.
There.
It's frustrating.
It was so frustrating, right?
When it causes you stress, then it's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Any more questions?
You know, I think that's pretty good. The other one that's often said is, do you ever feel like you need to move in order to have more space?
No.
Well,
no.
Good.
No.
But for those who feel like, if I just had more space,
uh-huh.
I'll be more
uh-huh.
organized.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's
happen.
Generally not the case.
No. The larger the room, the more clutter.
Exactly.
It can happen. Right. Exactly. No, I am fairly organized, although I find that I'm not quite as picky as I used to be.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I like open space. I like it clean. I like it put away. But my desk, you know, I tend to have piles. Now, we were talking about this before we went on the air. I have a pile here and a pile there. You said piles are good as long as you know what's there.
Piles are definitely a form of organization.
Mm-hmm.
If it works and it's not broken, then
mm-hmm.
don't bother to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
People often have the misconception that neat equals organized, and if it's messy, that means you're disorganized. Well, that's certainly not true. You can be
You
can be very messy and also very well organized. If it's working,
if you know where it is, if you can find it,
if you can find it, that's the important thing.
Right.
When you need it, you can put your hands on it. Or when you need to leave, you're not stalled because you've been having a very frustrating morning.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about function. It's not about appearance. So if appearance is not relevant, then you're doing just fine.
If it functions for you. That's a good standard, because all people's neatness's standards are maybe different. What bothers one person won't bother someone else. But the key is, do you know where things are?
It's often a big stress in relationships for people. One person might be the clutter person who functions well in the clutter, and their spouse might be the one who likes things put away in that big open space. So finding that happy medium. Also for employers, the employer who has people into their office building and they want the desk to have the clear desktop, when employers need to realize that not everybody functions in that same way, and it's about how they work and what they need to work, not what it looks like when they're working.
It's how effective they are using what they've got.
Exactly.
Yes, I like that. Well, that's a nice philosophy, because then it takes away some of the guilt for people who may say, oh, I could do more if I just had my desk better organized. Well, maybe you are organized. It's not, though, as you say, it's not the way it looks. It's your ability to use what you've come up with.
Exactly. And society really stresses us about the guilt.
Yes. Well, we're going to have to take a break. But when we come back, we're going to talk about if you are one of these stressed out people because of the mess and you can't find things, how do we get ourselves organized?
Great.
So don't go away, because Scott's going to help us.
You're listening to Of Consuming Interest on Washington Post Radio. 1077 FM, 1500 AM, and reaching the world on WashingtonPostRadio.com. Now back for more in-depth news and analysis.
Welcome back. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Scott Roer. He is a professional organizer, and he's going to tell us how to get all the clutter under control. I do have one closet that I really need to have you work on, Scott. It's out of control. Now it really isn't. You know, people say to me, you think that's a mess? Well, that's my standard.
Sure. Well, what's a mess in your mind is perfectly functional in another
person. In somebody else's. But anyway, let's talk about how you get yourself to this mental frame of mind if you really feel you need to be organized. And the key to that, I guess, is what you're saying to me, is whether or not it stresses you. If it's stressed, if you're losing things and you can't find them, if you're finding that stressed.
Right. Then it's a problem. So just some examples of hurdles that people face when they're deciding, should I get organized, is, first of all, where do I start? That's often the big question.
Oh, that's the big question, sure.
If it's an entire house, it's just, compare it to food. It's one huge meal. And often that whole meal is hard to take down. But if it was more like appetizer size, and you could break the project up into a room or a desktop, and you break it up, then it's certainly much easier to do.
Okay.
Also,
I'm sorry.
Not having a clear vision of what you want it to look like and how you want the room to function is often a big problem. When I ask people what their master bedroom should look like, they tell me it wants to be a haven and a sanctuary and be very peaceful, but yet the children, it's their main play zone, or they have their computer and lots of paperwork in there. Well, that doesn't match your vision. So you really need to come up with one before you even get started.
Yeah, I think that's very important. Now, let's just tell people how they can find out information about you. Your organization is called Solutions by Scott.
Correct.
And you have a website.
Sure, solutionsbyscott.com.
Okay.
Solutionsbyscott.com. Also,
you have some great stuff on there.
Thank you.
Simple solutions to keep you on track. Kick the club or not. Quick organizing tips for your kitchen. Ask the organizer. You talk about hooks. Well, we're going to go over some of these things. All right. So we're going to take this. We're going to make a smaller focus so that we don't get overwhelmed by the idea that we've got the whole house to do or the whole office. We're going to look at one part. So our goal in our office could be, we're going to have one part of our desk cleared off, or we could have one cabinet cleared out or something like that.
What people need to do is they really need to think about how they want to use that space and how they currently work.
Ah, that's your vision. So you know that you're going to have an end result. You've got a goal.
Right. If it's your office and you're a person who is easily distracted, then probably having all of the projects out on your desktop is not going to be the most beneficial way for you to work. Or if it's at home and your kitchen table is what's covered by paper, then it's probably not working too well. However, if you're a visual person and you need the reminders, then there are ways to manage the piles And there's ways to manage all that paper clutter so you can work and function more.
And how do you do that? When you have a client and they come to you and they say, I'm a mess, Scott, where do you start?
Well, ask them why they think they're a mess.
Okay.
And generally, when they're telling me that it's the paper or it might be time management, from there, I often look for visual clues of what I see. For example, if there's a habit, you know, if they have the piles lined up, well, that tells me that they like the visual reminders. Or if they're opening their mail by their sofa and there's the pile of envelopes sitting on the floor, we'll try to work with that habit, not against it.
So how do you organize it? How do you can keep some things, not changing routines necessarily, but improving the way they function?
Sure. With paper, one of the things I encourage people to do is not the Ohio rule or once in, once out, or once in your hand and in out. I encourage people to give it a verb, give it an action, something they need to do with it. And then if they want to have it off their desktop, put it in some folders and group it that way. Put all your telephone calls together, put all the bills together, put all the follow-up and correspondence together.
And doing that when you're going through the mail. So
do it when you're going through
the mail. You don't have to sort it out. Right.
Yeah, sort it once. Don't open it, stick it back in the envelope, and then put it back in a pile. Take the bill out, stick it in the bills folder. So when you sit down to pay the bills, they're all together and it's less sorting again.
Because it's not efficient to do it the other way.
Not efficient at all. And also when they're grouped together, you know, if you sit down to do something in the evening and it's beyond business hours, you can't make telephone calls.
Right.
So to then sort through the paper again and find the bills on top of the phone calls, on top of the correspondence, it's really not efficient. So if you group things by action, it's much helpful.
Well, I'm very fond of going through newspapers and clipping out things about restaurants and whatnot, because my husband and I enjoy eating out with friends. So, you know, there's a new review here, there's a new restaurant there. And I found that I was getting piles of paper. So what I've done is manila folders are my best friend. I put things in. If it's a restaurant in town, I put it there. If it's a restaurant somewhere where I think I might be going, I put it in an out-of-town restaurant folder. It manages. Then I occasionally go through and sort them out and just throw them all away because I haven't been to any of them, right?
Sure. Grouping them by place to go, right. Things to do, places to eat.
But I am not super organized. I don't mean to sound like I am. Now, I noticed that you have, we're sitting here talking, and Scott has in front of him several different sheets of paper placed fairly neatly, but they're not what I would say the neatest thing in the world. I mean, you've got things there, there are notes you're going to reference, but I'll bet you know where every one of the things, if you want to look at something to give me some info, you know where it is, don't you?
My sheets are divided by subject. So
okay.
For me, subject works well.
Okay.
And it's not alphabetical. It's not in some sort of chronological order, because that's not the way my mind functions.
All right. Now, how did you get into this? What prompted you to decide to help other people organize?
My background is in education, and I was a teacher for 7 years and then moved into convention and meeting planning. But on the side, I had been helping friends organize their physical space. It's just something I enjoy. When people are challenged by the clutter, it's something I embrace and I love to do.
Uh-huh.
So upon encouragement from friends who said, you know, people might pay you to help them do this, I combined my love for organizing and my background in education so I can help teach people how they can
do it
on their own.
It's a great idea. So you've always been organized?
I wouldn't say I've always been organized. A lot of it is things I've had to learn how to do.
Uh-huh.
It's not an innate ability for everybody. For example, when my car breaks down, I don't know how to fix it, so I take it to an auto body repair shop. Or if my plumbing backs up, I'm not about to touch the plumbing, so I call an expert.
Do you think we get a lot of this from our parents? My mother was very neat and very organized, and I suspect that a lot of that comes through to the children. Although when I was growing up, my bedroom was a disaster zone.
I think some of it possibly could be environment, or it could be rebelling against an environment that you were raised in. A lot of parents who grew up during the Depression era held on to everything because they needed to have those things around them in order to feel like they had items in their life.
Yeah. We're going to have to take a break. We're coming right back, Scott. This is a fun discussion. I'm thinking now, those closets, I'm going to go tackle them.
Something you can do this weekend.
There you go. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Of Consuming Interest on Washington Post Radio. 1077 FM, 1500 AM, and reaching the world on WashingtonPostRadio.com. Now back for more in-depth news and analysis.
Welcome back. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Scott Rohwer. It's called Solutions by Scott. His website is solutionsbyscott.com, and he gives you a lot of hints on getting yourself organized. all right, now we've gotten the person, they've gotten their image, they've got it in their mind, they've actually gotten themselves organized, their house looks great, their desk looks nice, you know, all this sort of stuff. And that's their version of nice, not your version or my version.
Exactly.
It's what makes them feel comfortable. How do you maintain this? Because in the everyday clutter of life, and we were talking about earlier before we went on the air about how many more letters we receive now, how much more mail we receive than our parents did, for example. It's a humongous number of pieces of paper that come at us every day. How do you maintain that organization? That, to me, is a big challenge.
That's the biggest question I'm often asked is, what do I do with the daily stuff? And often, you know, the answer is you have to do some sort of processing a little bit every single day. If you are spending 8 minutes, for example, an afternoon, an evening, before you go to bed, and just doing a general purge of that paperwork, because paperwork is often the biggest culprit, it helps to not then at the end of the week have to do an hour's worth, because you did a little bit of chunks every single day. People hold on to more than they need to, and it's just because we thought we had to hold on to that receipt, or we thought we had to hold on to every single utility bill.
Mm-hmm.
Truth is, you don't. So if you have a business, yes, talk to your tax attorney and let them tell you what
right.
you need to keep. But the average homeowner holds on to many more pieces of paper than they need to.
And that's a great idea, because once you get rid of stuff, you've got more room as new stuff comes in that you need to maintain. You have a place to put it.
You have a place to put it, but also the fact of not having to feel like you're falling behind.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you keep every single piece of paper, then you have to do something with every single piece of paper.
And you've got to figure out when to do it. Well, one of the things that helps me is to, let's just talk about get up in the morning. I make the bed. I make the bed before I go downstairs.
Sure.
That's just a habit. I don't like not making the bed. Some people don't mind, but that's my thing, you know. So I find that it's just easier for me to do it right then.
It's a morning routine that works well for you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't make my bed.
Well, see there.
So, you know, for me, it doesn't work. And sometimes
exactly.
we have
you
to choose
care.
Priorities.
It doesn't bother you. It bothers me.
Right. If I have time and it's something that I would like to do, I make the effort. But if I have to choose, do I make my bed or do I do a little bit of work or organizing for myself before I leave for the
mm-hmm.
day,
mm-hmm.
then I do a little bit of the organizing. I
sure.
choose and prioritize.
You prioritize, exactly. But making the bed takes about 1 minute and a half. So
sure.
I figure I've got the time to do it. But that's what makes me comfortable. That's my comfort level. It's not everybody else's comfort level.
Right. And as you said, prioritize. People make time to work out. They make time
mm-hmm.
to read the book for the book club. We have to make time in order, if we want to live a more organized lifestyle, you have to do it.
One of the interesting things you talked about it was not wanting to have people in your house because of a mess. Now, if you keep the clutter under control to your level of comfort, it doesn't really matter what it looks like. If you're comfortable with it, then there's no, you don't have this to fret about when you've got company coming or relatives call and say, I want to drop by. You can do that.
There's the social stigma of how your home should look. The magazines that are out there, the television shows.
There's never one thing out of place.
Never. And honestly,
my house doesn't look like that.
It's not reality. You know,
no.
We live in our house. We pull things out. We have families. It's just the way life truly is, not the magazine cover. That is perfect. And we all have the, you know, the one room in the house where there's a knock on the door and you yell upstairs, close the guest room door.
Yes.
Because we don't want people to see that.
Right.
But reality is we all have some sort of physical clutter in our lives.
Mm-hmm. But we live with it and we deal with it. And it's when it makes us uncomfortable.
When it makes it uncomfortable and it makes life not function for you, for your
right.
family,
right.
and it's causing stress, that's when you need to do something about it.
Yeah, because the day I couldn't find my keys, I was really stressed out.
Right.
Because I always put them in my purse. I always have a little place in my purse where I put my keys. And I didn't do it that day. Who knows why? I was probably bringing in groceries, laid them down, forgot about them.
Well, people don't call me because they live messy.
No.
They call me because it's affected their lifestyle.
Right,
and it's
exactly.
something that's challenging for them.
So what do you typically do if someone calls you? Are they generally calling you about their home or their office or both?
Both. I have both residential and business clients and also some commercial clients that I work with. There's a standard set of questions I ask them. Why they think they're disorganized? What sort of challenges are they facing? If it's their home, I ask them what room drives them crazy.
Mm-hmm.
If they believe another family member is the root of the disorganization or if it's them. Also, sometimes they lead into a life event, whether it was divorce or the passing of a family member.
Or illness.
A new job,
mm-hmm.
birth of a child,
mm-hmm.
all those life events also cause disorganization.
And just don't kick yourself around the block because of it.
No, it's something you really just can't beat yourself up on. And it's something that doesn't happen overnight. And it's not also fixed overnight. You know, the television shows that show a 30-minute segment with commercials and they completely remodel the house and they paint and they totally reorganize. It's not reality.
They took lots of time to do that.
Lots of time, lots of money, and lots of effort of
and
many
a lot
people.
Of people working on it, exactly.
Exactly. So that's sort of a misconception of what professional organizers can do to help you. We can help you with the very basic systems, but also can help those who are chronically disorganized.
I like the fact that you ask people to have their own vision, because you're not trying to foister on them what your vision is of what their home should look like or their office. It's what they want out of it.
Right. We're not all about colored boxes and plastic bins. That's not what professional organizers do. We want to find out a little bit more how about that person functions and what their needs are, so we can help them develop one of the many different organizing principles to help them in life.
Scott, thank you so much. The time has flown by. I'm going to be a better organized person. Our guest has been Scott Rohwer. It's Solutions by Scott. He's a professional organizer. I'm Shirley Rooker with WTOP's Call for Action.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.